Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by publisher of InsideTexas.com, Eric Nahlin. It's our weekly installment of the State of the Program, where we go over some items and issues that we think are germane to Texas football in general, as well as the athletic programs. Eric, welcome in, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bobby.
Well, as always, I hope this is a good segment for the folks out there. Let's start really with Chris Jackson being named the wide receivers coach at Texas. I know you had an article yesterday on Inside Texas with some further insight on him. Tell us what you know about the new wide receivers coach at the University of Texas.
Yeah, you know, sometimes what makes us good at our job, Bobby, is just unfamiliarity. I didn't know anything about him. So my first job is to become familiar with him. And then, you know, everything I learned, I just pay it forward to the readers, you know. So I didn't know him, right? I mean, he's bounced around the league forever. As a player, he's in and out of the AFL, you know, played in the NFL for a while, went to modern day, didn't play football. I mean, he's just got a very interesting path. So I had to dive in a little deeper on him and learn more about him before I can actually talk intelligently on him, you know. And everybody's asking about, you know, recruiting. Can he recruit? Because he hasn't done it, you know. Just because you haven't demonstrated the ability to recruit doesn't mean that you can't recruit. And so I had to learn whether or not he's got the traits for that. And, you know, everything that I learned about him, you know, I wrote a piece yesterday that I came back feeling pretty confident about his ability overall to relate to players. That's first of all, you know, recruiting is effort and relatability. That's really what it boils down to. Do you want to recruit? And can you relate to players? Can you connect to them? And I think he's got a story and a path that had, you know, he's got experience that he has from, you know, from being a player, but also experience from his path. You know, the path is going to give you a lot of experience, all the people that you've met. He's seen the highs, he's seen the lows of the sport. He's coached the, you know, pros at a high level. He's actually trained them to get them ready for the combine. So there's just so many different things that he has that are going to appeal to recruits, I think. And then, you know, learning about his personality, I think he's got a really good personality based on the people I've talked to that know him. You know, I feel really good. I feel good about the hire. You know, I think Sark, I know he did a lot of homework. You know, it's always funny when fans, they get real apprehensive when it wasn't a name that they know or it didn't happen fast enough. I really like the approach Sark took. He did a lot of homework on him, and I think he made a good hire. And I'm interested to get to know Chris Jackson more through sources that relate to him and recruits that talk to him. But for right now, I feel really good about the hire.
A lot of folks are making a big deal about him having a prior relationship with Margin Hooks, an elite trainer in the DFW area of high school wide receivers, has trained Jonte Cook, for example, Micah Hudson, now the star recruit for the 2024 class out of Lake Belton, Evan Ford over at A&M. What's your takeaway on that relationship and its impact and what it might mean in this hire?
Yeah, Margin has worked quite a bit with Isaiah Nair too. You know, just really, you know, I mean, you know, I've known Margin for 10 years. It's kind of interesting. You know, he was kind of just breaking into the whole thing when I was kind of breaking into the whole thing. And, you know, Margin's the best at it. You know, I mean, if you talk to a high school, somebody that's writing about recruiting in Florida, they know who Margin Hooks is. I don't know who the best guy in Florida is, you know, so that just tells you that, you know, Margin's reputation precedes himself. Margin also makes their job easier. You know, he makes the wide receivers job, coach job easier, because they don't have all the time in the world to spend developing them. So Margin's going to identify the self-starters, the guys that really want to get better, that put in a lot of extra effort, and Margin's going to help develop them. And that, you know, he's got guys all over the country. You know, J. Michael Sturdivant just went from Cal to UCLA, one of the most talented guys in the entire nation, clearly a first or second round draft pick, maybe third round draft pick. He's got guys all over the place. But, you know, you need to have a good relationship with Margin. And, you know, Chris Jackson and Margin definitely know each other. I think they were cut on the same day in 2003 by the Dolphins. So there is a pre-existing relationship there. You know, just guessing, I'm sure that Sark got some good feedback from Margin Hooks on Chris Jackson. You know, that just makes sense. But that also speaks to Sark's hiring process and the fact that he gets the landscape.
All right. I want to say thank you to our sponsor. Each and every episode of State of the Program is sponsored by Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. The Lowy Law Firm specializes in results for his clients, whether it's a tragic car wreck, an accident in the workplace, or any serious or catastrophic injury. Adam is who you want to call. Call Adam today at 512 280-0800 or reach him online at loweylawfirm.com for a free consultation. And remember, Adam focuses on results. Eric, let's go to a different subject. I wrote a column this morning. I think it's pertinent to the whole discussion about Texas and Steve Sarkisian recruiting through the whistle. It's a term Jerry Hamilton of Inside Texas likes to use all the time, and I think we've adopted it.
It was invented by your co-host here, though.
Okay, long ago.
That precedes. That's a long one. You know, okay. You always play through the whistle. There's certain guys you got to recruit through the whistle.
I gotcha. So here's my question to you as it relates to that. In the last week, we've seen Texas pick up A.D. Mitchell, right? Wide receiver out of Georgia that I think it's the very last week Texas can add somebody. Then over the weekend, they offer a Mississippi defensive lineman who's not even in the On3 database, by the way.
Yeah, that's it.
Office was Coastal Carolina and Southwest Missouri State.
Kind of a thing with Mississippi kids, though, man. And, you know, they offered a JUCO, which I'm sure you're about to go to. We barely have any information on him. And I think we're on to Bo's secret. Bo Davis's secret is just go to Mississippi.
Well, but my point, though, is, you know, you add that into news that broke this morning about Warren Roberson of Red Oak.
Yep.
Texas offered as a senior eval.
Right.
Texas was thought to be out of it with him, and he was going to decide between like TCU, Arizona State, and USC or something like that.
Right.
But now this morning we learn that he's visiting Texas this weekend after a stop from Sark last week at Red Oak, where he made an in-home with Roberson. Add all that together, and it just seems to me that recruit through the whistle for this program and for Steve Sarkisian is a very true analogy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're done on Deuce Robinson either. You know, that's
good. Oh, yeah, I forgot about it.
Everybody's super excited about it, but they're not. They're, you know, that's a guy that you always recruit through the whistle. And you know, look, there's always needs in a program that need to be filled, and there's myriad ways. There's more ways to fill those needs than there ever was before, Bobby. You know, when you were doing this 20 years ago, transfer, you got a transfer. Man, that was a big deal. Holy crap. Or a JUCO guy, that was crazy. Now there's just so many different ways to fill needs. You've got the bifurcated signing days. You know, there's one in December. All right. Then you get to reassess your needs all over again. You get bowl practices before you reassess those needs and guys transferring out. There's just different ways to always address needs. And, you know, they're on the ball. You know, I like it. There's like a five-pronged approach right now. And it just shows that they're fully in on maximizing this roster to the best of their ability, and it doesn't care. They don't care where the ballers come from. They're going to try to get them in.
I have not talked to you on air since Texas landed A.D. Mitchell last week. What do you think he means for this program headed into spring?
Well, I mean, he's going to be the starter at X receiver. That's pretty obvious to me. You know, I think that's going to allow them to probably put Xavier Worthy in better situations to succeed. You know, I think there are a lot of returns across the board on it. You know, they're going to go probably more 11 personnel now that you've got Jordan Whittington in a better position, like really his ideal position as a slot machine. Never mind his individual talent. I think he adds a lot to the scheme and he gives the Sark a lot more flexibility than he had last year. And, you know, this year he had more flexibility than he had the previous year. And, you know, that's it. He's program building, and A.D. Mitchell is a sign that he's program building.
All right. Speaking with Eric Nahlin of InsideTexas.com, InsideTexas.com has a special right now for a subscription through August 31. That means you get all of the spring practice, all of the recruiting news, all the junior stuff that's coming up as far as recruiting is concerned during the summer for just $30 all the way through August 31. Please join us, Eric, myself, Justin Wells, Jerry Hamilton, Ian Boyd, Paul Wadlington, and of course, Joe Cook, our beat reporter there in Austin. for a subscription to InsideTexas.com. Eric, you just mentioned something that I found interesting, and that's the way that guys are ending up at Texas. And looking at the 23 class that they just signed, that Texas just signed, and comparing it to the 22 class, one of the things that I find encouraging about the trajectory of Sark and his, you use the term program building, is this. A year ago, they ended up with a top five class, in part because of the coaching carousel around them, whether it was OU and Lincoln Riley leaving, whether it was Oregon and Mario Cristobal going and leaving two offensive line recruits more open than they were before and headed to Miami. This year, there wasn't that turmoil around them. In fact, there was more. LSU had a new coach last year. This year, LSU did not. What are your thoughts on that? As far as, you know, does it mean that Steve Sarkisian is more built for long-term success, that he could follow up a 22 class that was really aided by some last-minute coaching changes versus this one, which was set in stone pretty much from the start?
Yeah, you know, I think, I don't want to diminish what they did the previous year because, they were new. They were new to that class. They're building relationships. And to me, that it's a good sign that they, and it may be a forward-looking sign that they were able to finish, you know, second for a few of those guys and position themselves to capitalize on that luck. But I do think it's a good sign that this year they didn't need it. You know, they had so much of the class wrapped up in the summertime. We were sitting there like, what are we going to write about in December, man? So I think it's a good sign that recruits were bought in a lot earlier. And I think that we'll probably see that continue. You know, yesterday we were talking about how there's a decent chance they'll have their offensive line wrapped up again in the summer. And, you know, maybe if they want to extend the number, then maybe there's intrigue down the road. But I do think it came a little more honestly this year, but I think that's kind of a byproduct of being able to build relationships. You know, they're not the flashiest group, but I think there's a lot of substance to them. And substance usually takes a little bit of time to win people over. Like, there's not that eye-catching personality, maybe. Maybe Banks has that a little bit. But if you look in the past, Texas has had guys that were either, you know, could sit up on top of the mountain like Mack Brown, or had a wild personality like Tim Brewster. And Tim Brewster, that, you know, had that benefit at A&M and everywhere else he's gone. It's not a flashy group. I think the fact that they have the time to build these relationships, and also, you know, while the product on the field wasn't as great as everybody wanted it to be, there was clear signs of development. And development sells. Development sells a lot. These guys want to go to the NFL. They want to know they're going to be developed. And I think we saw individual development pretty much across the board. You know, had some struggles at quarterback, but that's, you know, he's young. So next year they'll be selling that. And they had Arch Manning. You know, that helped too.
Yep. I just look at it and feel like when you really think about it, it shows the development from a you're using the whole staff approach, and I agree with that. I just feel like it was more of that planting a flag or planting a stake in the ground and saying, okay, we're here for good now, as opposed to last year where there was a lot of, oh, we kind of backed into that one. This one was more of, we went in the front door.
You mentioned it a couple weeks ago on a video about, you know, does Jimbo have the advantage anymore? Like, nah, the 2023 class killed any advantage that Jimbo had on the head start with relationship building. And one thing that stood out to me at the junior day was it was really a sophomore day too. How many names did you write in that 2025 thread? There was like 40, 50 names maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it had almost 100 kids on campus. And I would say maybe a half, maybe not quite half, were 2025. So, you know, it's just gonna work in their advantage going forward. I mean, if they win, he's here forever, man. I mean, he's here as long as he wants to be, I should say. I think the NFL is going to come calling at some point.
Yep. Question for you, going forward here a little bit, Eric. In the Inside Scoop that you publish on Mondays, you mentioned a couple of freshmen that you heard are doing well early. You also mentioned some other scoop as far as the team is concerned. What are you hearing of the early enrollees and just what the team itself is doing right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, it didn't come as any surprise, you know, but you always like to hear that the high school evaluation is translating to college, because that's when you know that they're going to become the player in college that they were in high school. And, you know, the first guy I mentioned this week, and we mentioned some of the previous week, Arch Manning, a couple others. But the first one I mentioned this week was Malik Muhammad, and that, you know, that really comes as no surprise. He really gets the big picture. He knows what it's going to take to be a 10-year NFL vet. And he's already been training like that pretty much, you know, the last few years. You could tell that way. You could tell it with a kid, not just how they work out, but he eats the right way. Like he's there for it, but he's extremely energetic, probably way more enthusiastic than I ever heard about him being at South Oak Cliff. And to me, that tells me he's probably gonna end up being a leader, very communicative, which is, you know, that's a huge thing in the back end. We saw that breakdown a time or two with some young guys this season, but you know, I think he's going to live up to the hype, and you know, who knows if he's got the raw athleticism to be a first round draft pick, but I think we all, you know, all of us are high on him being a very good college corner and NFL player long-term.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt that his brother has already been through the, you know, he's had a brother that's been through it at Oklahoma State, right?
The whole,
so he sees it, you know,
that whole family is athletes. I mean, he's got a cousin that plays, she's on the basketball team at Texas. There's so many athletes. I had to break it down one time. I had to get on the call with like three different Muhammads to figure out the whole family tree. It was like 23andMe for the Muhammad family. Man, it's just, dude, they're ballers everywhere. You know, they've got guys that have, he's got cousins that have, I'm not sure if they're still in the NFL. Elijah Muhammad that went to Nevada. They're everywhere. Jabbar Muhammad is a cousin that just transferred from Oklahoma State to Washington. Can't believe the Aggies passed on him with his with their need at cornerback. But yeah, I mean, they're ballers. And the family is very business savvy too. And you know, if there's a good business deal on the line, they're going to go get it. And for Malik, that business deal is being a very good NFL pro, and so he gets the big picture.
Got it. Speaking with Eric Nahlin of InsideTexas.com. Inside Texas and the On Texas Football State of the Program episode is brought to you by Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. The Lowy Law Firm specializes in results for his clients, whether it's a tragic car wreck, an accident in the workplace, or any sort of serious or catastrophic injury. Adam is who you want to call. Call Adam today at 512-280-0800. The Lowy Law Firm focuses on results. Hey, Eric, you know, to end this program today, I wanted to ask you what you thought of the Texas football team as a whole and program as a whole. And I know this is a big topic in some ways, but do you think that Texas is, you know, a little bit better than they were 2 years ago when Steve Sarkisian took over? Or do you think they're in a lot better situation? Like, Try to grade his progress up until now from when he got the job.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that when I woke up this morning. And, you know, a lot of times people want to hindsight everything because it makes things so much easier. You know, they don't want to really put their thoughts out there in real time. It's, you know, but it's hard for me to really find fault in the overall program building. Program management and Sark. I think he's the right guy for this climate. It's a very difficult climate for people to adjust to. You kind of have to be in agreement with where it's going. And I think he is. If you fight it, it's probably going to hurt you long-term. You're not going to adapt.
Do you mean NIL?
NIL, everything. The way the kids are wired. I was talking to a very notable person in the football world the other day. And I was, you know, I was asking him, like, are kids different than they were 10 years ago? And he's like, well, they're a lot more sensitive. And I was like, okay, that kind of ties in with where I'm going. They're just nicer. They're nicer. Kids are nicer. And so every time one of us old people gets on here lambasting this next generation, they are softer, but they are nicer too. And you have to be able to communicate with them. You have to kind of get on the same level as them. And I think it's, you know, kind of where I think DKR aged out, and I think some of the greats have aged out. I think that the current climate we're in is going to age people out, and I think it's kind of hitting Sark at the right time. Now, I don't know if that's 100% true. You know, I mean, I could see how this would burn somebody out. The guy is just on the move nonstop. I've mentioned it a lot of times, and I said, you know, it's funny. I was in a conversation last night with two pilots, and it reminded me of what I said about Sark. You know, there are way more important jobs. You know, you've got people's trust and lives in your hand if you're an airline pilot. I was with a guy last night that, you know, flies around the Saudi higher-ups. And I'm like, wow, that's a crazy job. I didn't know how you got that job. But Sark has a more difficult job than that guy, a way tougher job when you have to manage all these people, you have to manage all these egos. You're a CEO, you're a life coach, you're all these different things. I think Sark is built for it. Now, it's easy to nitpick where they came up short on offense. Maybe Sark, the OC, I've said this in the past, Sark, the head coach, is probably did better than Sark, the OC. But I'm a big fan of where he's at. I'm a big fan of what they're doing. I'm a big fan of where I'm a big fan of the people that kind of ensure that things stay going in the right direction. You know, the school president is a football guy. The board of regents wants the chairman of the board wants to see them succeed. Obviously, Del Conte, it's his job to ensure that it succeeds. I think everybody's running in the right direction. So I'm a huge believer in the program long term. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be blips and bumps on the road, man. That's just how it is. It's how you respond to them.
Yeah, it's life. That's life. The one thing I would say beyond, and I agree with almost everything you said.
Yeah, I think I'm a little rosy, Bobby.
I feel like you're right, especially Eric in the category of he kind of fits what Texas needs and the demeanor. And yeah. I just feel like he's an offensive coach too, right? You need right. to, these day and age, you need an offensive coach because those are the guys that score a lot of points. And so I feel that's there. The other thing that I would mention that I am very cognizant of is talent. I felt right. like Charlie Strong did a decent job of recruiting. There's no doubt about that. But he never really stacked positions, right? He wasn't.
Yeah,
he wasn't built for 2 years down the road. He was trying to fix that year all the time, mm-hmm. right? And Tom Herman, a little bit of the same way, and in his problem,
he had some blind spots. Offensive line, big time.
Offensive line, but also transfer out.
Yeah,
transfer out. The portal and yeah. inability to keep players, the attrition killed him. That's not devastating Texas right now, and so. I think that ties into right. what you're talking about with him being able to relate better and have a tour.
Well, it also goes, Bob, to my biggest question about him is going to be overcome with talent. It's, you know, whether he can do head coach and OC at the same time. And once that talent is developed and in the right positions and has a little experience, you know, I mean, there's no point really worrying about, oh, should he have an OC or should he be the OC? You know, if we just wait, you know, it's in a crock pot. It's not in the microwave. And so that it takes a little while. But just like a crock pot, if you got the right ingredients in there, you can start to really sense what's coming together.
This is shaping up to be a big year for Texas. They are definitely recruiting through the whistle. They're being pretty judicious with scholarship offers, but also their offers to wide receiver coach, director of high school relations. You know, Sark, I think, has got things under control. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of State of the Program with Eric Nahlin, publisher of InsideTexas.com. I'm Bobby Burton, and thanks for watching.